First Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I just want to focus there on verse 2 this morning. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. This verse talks about growth. Spiritual growth. Sometimes young children can, because they don't have filters like we have, they can sometimes say things that you wish they didn't say. I had a few of those. I don't know if you, when your kids grew up, when they embarrassed you, mine did. And but anyway, there was this woman. She was walking with her young child in a supermarket, and there was a midget there, a dwarf, somebody that didn't grow. And the kid noticed this, and he said, "Mom, why is that kid so old?" And sometimes I think, spiritually, we're like old children. Because we don't always grow spiritually. Can you imagine what we would look like in the spirit? You know, we look at our, what we can see, what the Bible calls about the outward. God says, I don't look at the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. What will I look like spiritually? And so God desires for us to grow. The Bible says here, newborn babes, which means when we receive the Lord into our lives, we are spiritual babies. We're infants. We're just born. We were just born again. We are just newborn babes in the spirit. Now we need to grow. One of our people in Belgium once told me in the church, he said, what's this business of you always talk about spiritual growth? He says, I don't see the necessity for that. Well, it didn't take long for him to just completely slip out back into the world, and I don't know where he is today. The thing is, when we don't grow, we backslide. It's hard to just stagnate at a spot and think, well, I'm happy with where I am, and I'm not going any further. This is where I'm parking now. You're not parking, you're backsliding. And there's, God wants us to grow. It says here that as newborn babes, we must desire the pure milk of the word so that we may grow thereby. I'm sure God loves his babies, but he wants to see them grow up. How would you feel if your babies don't grow up? You'll take them to the doctor, and you'll be very concerned, and should be. Nobody wants their babies. We love them when they're babies. It's wonderful to have a baby in the house. But if that baby's 10 years old, you don't want that to be a baby still. You want that baby to start growing and talking and walking and do some things and become independent eventually. And not only independent, but become useful citizens to our society. And that's the same reason why God wants his children to grow up, so that we can talk with him and talk God's language. God has a language, did you know that? God spoke things into being. Powerful, powerful language that God speaks. I believe it's the faith language. Because you have to have a lot of faith to speak and then things happen. Right? And Hebrews 11 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And God wants us to grow up. And do you know the world speaks a doubt language? They doubt everything. They're always negative. And they only believe what they see. And you know, everything that you can see changes. It keeps on changing. If that's all you have to anchor your faith to, your faith will never be strong. You'll have there's a lot of reason to doubt when you only believe what you can see. But the Bible says faith is to believe what you don't see, which is the promise of God, the fulfillment that will come to pass. Now, I'm not speaking about faith this morning, although that seems to be coming along real good. But God wants us to be spiritually mature and grow up. And he says that we can do so by desiring the pure milk of the Word. There's a reason why it is the pure milk. But sometimes, you know, we can explain the Word and we can drift off and drift off and drift off. It's like making a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. And in the end, the thing doesn't look like what it started out as. That's why we need the pure milk of the Word. Stay close to the Word of God. Just feed on the Word of God just as it is. Somebody says, well, I'll read a Christian book. It's good to read a Christian book. But desire the pure milk of the Word. Just desire the pure. That's where we grow. That's where we grow. That is what helps us to grow. The pure milk of the Word. That's how we grow. The Apostle Paul there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I understood like a child, and I spoke like a child, I think he said. Let's go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. Lord, help us. No wonder there in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesian church, I pray that you'll have spiritual understanding. We cannot go through life and be fruitful, productive citizens of the kingdom of heaven with childish understanding of spiritual things. No, we need the mature thoughts spiritually. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put it away. Put it away. It concerns me sometimes, and maybe it's just a pet peeve of me personally, that grown men today are more interested in playing than becoming productive in our societies. They know more about sports than they know about the Word of God and spiritual things. It's more important to them. And play things. And now I go deeper in my personal pet peeve, all right? It may not be yours. But it grieves me when I see grown men waste their lives on computer games. I think, God, there's something wrong with us men. And I don't want to get on men's case, but God, can we grow up? There's so much joy in the fruit of our labors when we become spiritually mature. The fulfillment that comes with that is so much greater. Lord, help us to grow up. Tell your neighbor, I'm growing up. So why should we grow up? Why should we grow up? First of all, we want to become useful in the kingdom of God. We become useful to the King. You know, when God has an assignment, has a job to do, He's going to look for the ones that can do it. And when He looks around, then I would like Him to find me. I'll go. I don't mind. I'll go. You see me travel a lot. Because I'll go. God opens the door. I'm off. And I want to be able and ready and have the wherewithal to go. And sometimes I sit in a plane and I think, I wonder if I'm qualified. I'm going to speak to some people. And I wonder if I am qualified to do that. Who am I anyway? And I think, well, I'm not qualified, but he is. I'll just yield to him. I'll just yield to him. He does the work, not me. But I understand his heart. There's a responsibility that rubs off on you as you grow up. There's that sense of responsibility. And I believe God wants all his children to grow up to a place of responsibility in the kingdom of God, in the business of the kingdom. Let's run the kingdom with him. Let's become his senior managers in the kingdom, that God can delegate things to. Will you do this for me? Will you take care of that? Will you take care of that for me? Will you do that for me? Because he has nobody else but the church. He can send angels to preach the gospel. People do. It's when we go that he takes care of the needs. It's when we go. When we say, I'll go. The other thing is that we need to be responsible for ourselves. You know, we like our children to grow up and become responsible for themselves. How would you like to take care of your 50-year-old? He's already looking forward to going into retirement, but he has nothing to retire off. Because all he's done his life was to retire. How would you like that? I wouldn't like that. No, I think, you know, you grow up, take care of yourself. And God wants us to grow up by faith and be responsible, mature children of God, so that we can take care of ourselves and of those around us that need help. Maturity brings responsibility. And of course, another reason why we should grow up is so that we can bring our life's purpose to complete fulfillment. We want to stand before the Lord one day and say, Father, I have done all that you have given me to do. Done it all. Won't that be great? Stand there one day and say that. And you know that every one of us will stand before him. Every single one of us will stand before him one day. And the fact that we don't talk about it all the time doesn't mean it's going away. Every one of us will stand before the Lord one day and we will give account of what we did with our lives. There's a few things, and I'm just going to skim over this morning, that I found in the Bible, let me put it that way, that we should grow up in. The first thing is power. Do you know that God never intended for the church to be without power? He did not call the church to be a religious body. He called the church to be a powerhouse. He called the church to be able to accomplish all that God wants for the church to accomplish on earth. That requires a lot of power. Sometimes it requires a lot of staying power. You hang in there, you don't know why, you don't want to, you're angry with everybody. There was a time in my life where I said, I'm going to find myself a crocodile that bites Christians. I'm tired of it, I've had enough, and I told my family, if I ever pastor a church again or talk about it, shoot me. I've had enough. I'm not lying to you, we're talking the truth here now. You get fed up when the power runs low. But when that power keeps on coming and keeps on coming and keeps on coming, you can do things that you think you cannot do. You can go places that you never thought you'll go. And you look back and you say, my God, how did we do that? God said, it was my power. Don't you take credit for that now. You know, years ago, when we had bought our first house, I had to put a little gate in there, but it's a concrete wall. And the only drill I had was one of those that you just drill by hand. And I'm not lying. I sat there a whole Saturday morning to drill two holes in a concrete wall. A whole Saturday. But then I got a power drill. It took me less than a minute. It goes zzz. That's the difference between having power and having no power. And God wants the church to have power. And we can grow in power as we mature in the things of God. The power is His, not ours. But you know what? When that cord is plugged in, power comes from somewhere. That enables a dead thing to become useful and powerful. And God wants us to be powerful people, to accomplish much. I'm always glad to be a part of this church. I wish we had a lot more people. But I have made up my mind that instead of seeing how many people we can cram into the building, let's see how many people we can take to heaven. It's a little bit of a difference there. It's a little bit of a difference there. Let's see what we can do with what we have. You know, because you can sit around and say, well, you know, I cannot do this and I cannot do that and I cannot do that because we are just too small. We can say that and never do anything. Or we can say, it doesn't really matter. God doesn't look at numbers. He looks at faith. He looks at willingness. He looks at ability. He looks at availability. And we say, we're going to tackle this thing. It's a little too much for us in the natural. But now remember, the cord is in the plug. We're plugged in. And power is flowing through us, and we can accomplish that. We can accomplish that. Now, I always have to check my heart and keep my heart clean and not become boastful and so on. But I sometimes boast a little bit. Especially when I travel, I tell people about our church. And I have people ask me, how big is your church? And I tell them, and they think, it doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense. But it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. Because we, in this church, because we understand that the blessing of God enables us to go beyond our own strength, we have learned that, and we tap into that, we can tackle big projects. What a blessing that is. And sometimes they ask me, how? I have to be careful because, you know, I talk with people and ministers. How much do you dedicate in a year to missions? I say, well, we don't have a budget. So we don't dedicate a budget to missions. What you do is you dedicate yourself. And when God opens a door, we say, well, we go. And then the money comes to take care of that mission. And that's how we do business here. That's how we've always done business. Because if we cannot do that in faith, I have learned that a budget is there to tell you what you cannot do. But when I look to God, I see what I can do. And I want to be in a place where I don't want to be tied to what the budget says. I want, because God calls us 3/4 through the year to do a mission somewhere. And we say, well, it's not in the budget. We didn't think of that in January. No, we cannot do that. No, we're going to do it. We are going to do it. It brings a freedom that sets us free to do much for the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. And Paul talks about the whole situation here that they had in that church, and they were doing, they allowed things to just happen there, sin coming to the church and all of that. That's not where we want to go, but I want to pick up here in verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but power. See, you can talk a lot. You can talk a lot. But it's not the talking that matters, it's the power. Verse 20, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And this is something that I believe we should continually grow in. You know, the assignment that God has placed on a church is huge. I think we're around 7, 8 billion now. How many on the planet? 7? I think we just crossed over this summer. How many of those people still need to hear the gospel? The assignment is huge. We cannot do that without growing immensely in the power of God. We cannot do that. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's quickly go there. We always do things quickly. I'm always in a hurry, even if there's nothing to do. Quickly. Let's get moving here. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And see, that makes all the difference. We're not strong enough. Let me tell you something. On our own, we're miserable people. We're so limited. But when we plug in and we become strong in His might and in His power, there is no limit to what we can do. And I tell you what, this is not only for a Sunday morning, but when we go in through the week and we are faced with challenges and we're kingdom people and we see opportunities, we need a lot of strength and a lot of might to embrace what God opens up before us and say, I'm going to take advantage of this because I've got a kingdom to finance. I've got a kingdom to look after. I'm responsible in the kingdom of God and I have to do this. God's a big thinker. And we need to be big thinkers too. If you want to walk with Him, He's a big thinker. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, we can talk a lot about that one. Because God is without limit. And if we hook up with Him and we understand that nothing can stop us and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, then we can do all things. And don't look around at numbers. You know, old Gideon, he looked at numbers. When God gave him an assignment to defeat the enemy, he gathered the big army. And God says, you got too many people. Take that to a church board today. I think we have too many people. This church is too big. And he weeded some of them out, all the fearful ones and the ones that were scared and all that. They went home. God says, you still got too many. And he weeded out some more. And when he had only a handful, God says, now let's do it. Let's do it. God doesn't need numbers. God needs faith. So that the glory can go to Him. The power is from Him. It's not from us. The second thing that we can grow in is the grace of God. Now the grace of God is big. It's a big subject. It's the goodness of God that comes to us without merit. The goodness of God that we did not deserve. But there's empowerment in the grace of God. Because it supplies what we lack. It supplies what we lack. Doesn't matter what it is. The grace of God will supply what we lack. There's a bit of an acronym here. The grace of God is the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Grace and the riches at Christ's expense. He paid for it. He paid for it to make it available to us so that He can make it available through us. And so the grace of God is when we come short, we can rely on God to make up the difference. The Apostle Paul, he came to, and I tell you what, he, what a man he was. But he was not perfect. And he ran into some things in his own flesh, and he said, God, he said, three times I prayed to the Lord to take this thorn out of my side. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You cannot be perfect, but my grace will cover what you, where you fall short, my grace will cover that up. And therefore, we cannot now begin to focus on the thorn inside. Let's get the job done. Because even though you have a thorn, even though you have a weakness, even though you, though there's something out of place there, you can still do it because the grace of God is sufficient for you. And now Paul writes to Timothy. Let's quickly go to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. Be strong in the grace. I struggled for years to figure that one out. How can you be strong in the grace? How do you become strong in the grace? Or how, what does it mean to be strong in the grace of God? You think about that a little bit. Take it home with you and think about that. It's kind of a bridge that enables you to go where you cannot go because of your own limitations and lack and things. Be strong in the grace. You know, I look at myself and I disqualify myself. Do you know that this is one of the weaknesses of the church, that we always disqualify ourselves? You ask any Christian to do something, I don't think I can do that. Will you go and encourage that person? I don't think I can. I'm scared they'll ask me a question that I can't answer. Well, you be strong in the grace of God. Just be strong in the grace of God. Just lean on Him heavily, because He will supply what you need in that moment. I have found this to be the most amazing thing. And I have learned, even in the early days of our ministry, and I hope I choose the right words here, but I have found out when you put God on the spot, He shows up. You can beat around the bush and say, why, you know, the talking thing that you've just read about, and do a lot of talking. But when you put God on the spot and you say, God will do this and God will do that, boy, have we seen some things happen. When you put in faith, you say, it's the grace of God, it's the goodness of God that He wants to reveal. And you bring Him into that situation, you see Him show up. Sometimes we feel, I don't feel that anointing on me. And so I don't think I will. This person next to me here in my desk at the office, he's not well, but I don't feel that anointing on me, so I won't minister to them. You don't have to feel anything. Just be strong in the grace of God. He doesn't say be strong in the anointing. He says be strong in the grace. Be strong in the grace. Be strong in His power. You say, Lord, I'm available. I'm available. I'm switching now from that old hand drill to the power drill. And just plug in here, and we're going to get things done here. You put God on the spot, you'll see Him do things that you'll be amazed to see. And everybody's qualified. If you are a child of God, the grace of God. Do you know that Jesus needed the grace of God when He was on the earth? Do you know that Jesus had to grow up? He had to grow in wisdom. He had to grow in things. He had to grow in knowledge. He spent time with the scribes. When He was 12 years old, He spent time with the scribes. I see somebody growing in maturity far beyond these years. Because at a young age, He spent time in the Word of God. And I think there's an example there for us also, that the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more we will mature beyond our years. And the goals that we have set for ourselves. Grace is something that we need to grow in. And we do that as we go. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. Luke 2, verse 40. And the child grew and became strong in spirit. Jesus had to grow and become strong in spirit. Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God was upon him. Oh, he needed the grace of God to do what he came to do. He came as a man. He came as a servant. He came as one of us. He needed the grace of God just as much as we do. He didn't come as the Son of God. He came as a man. And for him to do what he did, he needed the grace of God. He needed the power of God. And he had to grow in those things. You know, when you come to places in like we read in Hebrews, where we saw that Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He learned obedience, which means he had to grow in obedience. It's something that we grow in. And so, the grace of God. Now, the next one. This is the last one for this morning. Faith. We need to grow in faith. Remember when the disciples were on the lake and the storm came up, and after Jesus spoke to the storm, he said to them, "Where's your faith?" They had no faith. They had fear, but no faith. Where's your faith? You don't want Jesus to ask that to you when you stand before him one day. Well, where's your faith? The Bible says when Jesus comes one day, he says, "Will I find faith on the earth?" He'll be looking for faith. People that do things because they believe. Faith is to act on what you believe. Faith is not mind over matter. It's not reasoning. It's nothing of that. Faith is action. Faith is to do or to take action on what you believe. It's the action that you take. Because if you don't believe it, you may be able to write a doctor's thesis on faith or on anything else. But if you're not willing to act on it, you don't really believe it. It's what you act on what you believe. That's faith. And so there were times when Jesus spoke to. There was a time when Jesus spoke to that to the disciples, and he said, "Oh, you of little faith." So they came from, "Where's your faith?" to little faith. Well, that's growth, and you don't need a lot of faith to do big things. A mustard seed can move a mountain. That's the power of faith in God. So if you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll speak to this mountain and tell it to lift itself up and be planted in the sea, and it will, if you believe. With faith like a mustard seed. But then when the Canaanite woman came to him with her daughter that was possessed, and she wouldn't take no for an answer. And you know the story, how he first ignored her. She came and asked him, "Please help me." He didn't even pay attention to her. And then the disciples said, "Well, send this woman away. She annoys us. Send this woman away. She keeps on bothering us. Send this woman away." And it was a hostile environment there. She wouldn't leave. And then Jesus said, "Well, I didn't come for you, for Gentiles. I didn't come for you. I'm not here for you." And she still refused to go. She still refused because she believed that he could do it, and he's going to do it. And then when she refused to leave, Jesus said, "O woman, great is your faith." Great is your faith. She refused to back off. She refused to back off. Sometimes we back off too easily of something that we know we need to do. Sometimes we just walk away from things just before the answer came. We go through the ignoring part. We go through the insulting side. We go through all the hostilities. And then we walk away from it. Just before he's going to say, "Oh, great is your faith," we turn around and walk away. He says, that persistence is a great faith. Oh, woman, great is your faith. And so, faith is something that grows. Where's your faith this morning? Where's your faith this morning? How much are you willing to produce into the kingdom? Whatever it is that God calls you to do. Because you're going to need your faith. And no faith is not going to do it. Little faith, not recommendable. Not recommendable. Let's go for the great faith. What's wrong with that? Let's go for the great faith. Do you know, it's the quality that counts. It's the quality that counts. I remember how Dr. Yonggi Choe, when he was once challenged by a monk about healings, that the monk came and did some healings there because they were not happy with him preaching the gospel. And he was worried about that because many of the people that paid attention to the gospel would follow the monk. And so the monk said, "Let's have a competition. We'll see who heals the most people." That's what he said. And so the monk came and he did a few things. And then God said to him, to Dr. Yonggi Choe, he said, "You will win this thing. By the quality and the quantity." And those two words stuck with me. Qualities and quantities. Let's go for that in our faith walk. Go for the more. Go for bigger in your faith. I can do all things. But the sentence doesn't stop there. It says, through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. Let's grow in faith. Oh, let's accomplish great things for our God. Let's go way beyond our own strength and our own ability and our own resources. Let's go way beyond because God will strengthen us to do that. It's not about our power. It's not about our strength. It's about the quality of our connection with Him. Then the pure power can flow through us, and then all things become possible. What a God we serve. Man, I tell you, what a God we serve. Do you know that God is one that always picks the one that nobody else will pick? He picks the one. He chose Moses, who was a murderer, to write the law. He chose Paul. He picked on Paul, who persecuted the church, to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He chose David, that his own family forgot, to be the greatest king Israel ever had. It was all about him. It's all about him. But if the people with the big names and the big titles. Oh, and people love titles. Even in the kingdom. If they can have 2 or 3 titles in front of their name and maybe 1 or 2 behind, they think they've arrived. Then God picks up a simple man that can hardly read or write, like old Smith Wigglesworth. And he touches the world. That's God. Because the power comes from Him. Let's grow in power. Let's grow in the grace of God. Let's grow our faith in Him, our trust in Him, that God will never let us down. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. You always win. The church was not born to lose. The church was born to win. And we're going to win big. Praise God. Let's be excited about the things of God. Let's be people of faith. Say, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll do it. When God says, who will go for me? The prophet said, send me, I'll go. I'll go. Because we know we don't go in our own strength, in our own quality of qualifications. If He sends us, He'll take care of us. He'll make the way. He'll do it. All things are possible. All things are possible. When I begin to think of these things, nothing encourages me more than this. I don't have to bring the strength. I don't have to bring the power. I don't have to bring the money. I don't have to bring the money. Some of the ministers a while back told me, are you of all the rich people with you? I thought, well, who's rich here? We do things out of God's pocket. He supplies. But we know what He has. And we know He's not stingy. We know that. And so when you sign up for the assignment, the provision is there. Praise God.